In the name of the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we commence our few thoughts this morning together, I was reminded when I looked at dates that the last time I was speaking to you in a similar fashion was just before I started some therapy for illness. And as you can see, I'm still here, and I feel just fine, and I want to again express my heartfelt thanks to you as a congregation for all of the prayers and kind things that you did on my behalf. It was a wondrous thing for Elizabeth and me to have such a congregation and to have such backing from people like yourselves. Once again, thank you. I have a quotation from a Welsh cleric this morning to start our thoughts together. Andrew Jones, Archdeacon Andrew Jones, actually, is his full title. And what else but Welsh with the name Andrew and with the name Jones? Andrew Jones, in elaborating on the story of Queen Esther, said these words: "Who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift to God." Let me say that again. Who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift to God. We don't often think about Queen Esther. She's kind of lost in the mire, as it were, because of the fact that in the Old Testament, it's a particularly Jewish story, but that shouldn't stop us from looking at it, because there are some lessons that we can learn from Queen Esther and her conduct at the time that she was living. In what looks surprisingly like an action fiction book, here are a few of the unverified facts about Queen Esther as we know them. First of all, she was born a Jew approximately 500 years before the birth of Christ. She lived in a geographic part of the world that was ruled by the Persian Empire, and it was a vast empire, very rich, very mighty, strong in battle, and so on. But she was a Jew living amongst people who were not Jewish. Her Jewish name was Hadassah. I'm sure you bumped into the name Hadassah before now. It means myrtle tree, or just myrtle, myrtle bush. But in Persia, she was given the name Esther. And we think that the word or name Esther came from one of their gods, one of their many gods, Ishtar. And Ishtar in Persian, I'm told, I don't speak the language, means star. So Esther, you can think about as a star of some sort or another as we go along. As Esther's parents were deceased, she was given into the care of a cousin, Mordecai. And Mordecai was a very honorable and upright man, and he looked after Esther very, very well. He became virtually her parent in the absence of her natural parents. Growing up, Esther became a remarkably beautiful young woman. Now, at the time that she was growing up, I always have trouble with this man's name, Ahasuerus was the king. I'm going to refer to him by his Greek name, Xerxes I. It's a little easier. But Ahasuerus was, in fact, the king of Persia at the time. And he presided over lands that stretched from India to Ethiopia. Sizable piece of real estate, certainly. The king held a feast. They loved feasts in those days, apparently. We like to eat, but they certainly ate. And 180 days the feast went on for. Quite a while for a feast. But he was wealthy, and he decided he would show people what he had in his larder. And they had about a half a year's feasting. Towards the end of the feasting, however, Xerxes I called for his wife Vashti to come and present herself before him and before all his guests. Now, Vashti herself was a very striking woman and a very beautiful one as well. But Vashti, in essence, said, "No, I won't come. I'm not coming. Tell the king I'm not going to come." Well, of course, by that stretch, Xerxes I, or Ahasuerus, got very angry and enraged. He said, "That's it, Vashti, you're out of here as queen. I'm going to look for another queen." Well, right on cue, as they say in theater times, right on cue, Esther was put forward by her cousin Mordecai as perhaps one of the people who might be considered as the new queen. Well, Xerxes, or Ahasuerus, was quite taken with Esther and her remarkable beauty, and he said, "You're it. You're going to be my queen." Well, this is very interesting as we go along, and now, however, the plot thickens a little bit. Neither Esther nor her cousin Mordecai told the king that she was Jewish. That was probably because Jews were not terribly welcome in the Persian Empire at that time, and accordingly, they decided they just wouldn't bother telling the king that that was so. So Esther became queen and became the wife of the king. Enter, stage left, Haman, H-A-M-A-N. And Haman was the chief minister of Xerxes I. He was the chief minister of the king, and as such, he had great power. Haman hated the Jewish people. He wanted to rid the whole Persian Empire of all Jewish people. Let's get rid of them. They're interlopers. We don't want them here. They're not Persian, therefore they have to go. And he convinced the king to give a royal edict saying that all of the Jews in the Persian Empire, if they didn't leave, they're going to be slaughtered, killed, murdered. Well, when Esther got wind of this particular situation, she decided she had to act. So she went to the king, her husband, and said, "I am Jewish. I want this edict against my people not to take effect." "Oh," said the king, "we have a little problem here, because any edict of a Persian king cannot be revoked. It can't be called back." And accordingly, he pondered for a while and said, "Tell you what I'm going to do." Sure, he didn't say quite that. "Tell you what I'm going to do. I will issue a second edict," and the second edict allowed the people of Israel to arm themselves so that they could fight against the murderers who were coming to slaughter them. Well, that changed the whole scene. The whole thing just changed completely. The Jews, to put it crudely, slaughtered the Persians who had been sent to slaughter them. And accordingly, Mordecai came on the scene and said, "I'm Jewish too," and he had warned the king about about what was going to happen. And accordingly, the king said, "I'm going to reward you, Mordecai, and I'm going to not only reward you, I'm going to make you the chief minister in the place of Haman." There's a little side issue here. Haman had built a gallows to string Mordecai up. and so who was on the gallows but Haman himself and his son? The whole family pretty well was wiped out as far as we know. And that being the case, Queen Esther remained as queen. Mordecai became chief minister. He got all the estates of Haman. Haman and his sons were no more, and that was the end of that particular story. Quite a tale, don't you think? I think it's quite a tale. Let's go back now to the first thought that Archdeacon Jones gave to us. Who we are is God's gift to us. Put another way, who we start out being is God's gift to us. Who we start out being is God's gift. We arrive on the planet. We have DNA, as we now know. We have heredity, and subject to geographical positions and defining events as they come along to us, we are devolving as we were planned and programmed to do. In looking at the second part of what Archdeacon Jones said, he said, who we become is our gift to God. And we can see just below the surface of that, I suggest, our responsibility to promote our own growth so that indeed we have something to give back to God. We can offer ourselves as a gift to God, and such an awesome responsibility we seem to have. Now, Queen Esther had started out her life. She had been given life by her parents. She started out, as we do, as an infant. She had gone on to be the savior of her people by finally speaking truth to the king. I want to just pause here for another minute and make a comment upon a particularly notable thing about this book of Esther. I don't think you'll find the name God or Lord or Yahweh or anything of that nature at all in the book. God isn't mentioned in the book of Esther. Well, there we are. Might keep that thought in mind for just a moment. The whole tenor, though, of Esther's story shows the hand of God for the Israelite people, the Jewish people. There's little doubt that Esther had the backing of God in this connection with regard to coming forward and saving her people. The hand of God certainly, I feel, was on Esther and on Mordecai. Esther had lots of helps. Let's look at a few of these helps that she had. First of all, she was given life. Then she was given the gift of great beauty. Then she was finding herself in a time in the Persian Empire which was very tenuous, very tense, and accordingly, she had to maneuver around people, even maneuver around her husband for a time. She was courageous. She was positive in taking action on behalf of her people. And she certainly seemed to want to see justice done. I think that it's fair to say that Esther was inspired to do what she did. Now let's put Esther's story into some sort of a modern-day context for us. Like Esther, we've been given life. We've come into this world with our heredity. We have grown into the persons we have become. And like Esther, whether we know it or not, God has been a part of the fashioning of our lives. And if you doubt that, you might want to go back and review some of the happenings in your own life with regard to God's actions. The more we give ourselves and open ourselves to God, as we well know, the more he will assist us to become the people whom he intends us to be. The nice part about all this is that God will assist us if we ask him. And we will become the person he has in mind, and he will certainly provide us with direction and strength to carry on and become that person. And he, in turn, has given all sorts of helps. And I just refer to a few that St. Paul mentions. First of all, we have the breastplate of righteousness. Second, we have the belt of truth. Third, we have the shield of faith. Fourth, we have the sword of the Spirit. And finally, fifth, we have the helmet of salvation. I would like to bundle up all of these things into perhaps just one concept that we can carry away with us today. And that is that we can bundle these things into a faith in God in all that we do. Like Esther, we can use our faithfulness to God to witness to those things that happen to us along life's way. In other words, being faithful to God and His principles and His love will indeed help us to become the people He would like us to be. There's a rather sobering thought that's given in some of the notes to the story of Esther, and I quote from some biblical scholars who had taken upon themselves to look more deeply into Esther's story, and they had this to say: Esther is part of a much larger story that runs all the way from Abraham to Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ to the church. If Haman has succeeded, the Jewish people as a whole would have been destroyed, and the story of God's saving work in and through Abraham's descendants would have come to an end. There would have been no fulfillment in Christ, and therefore no gospel and no Christian church. We wouldn't be sitting here today. Well, I hope that none of us have the scary task of rescuing Canada from the evil destroyer that might come along, or who might come along. By the same token, we can assume the responsibility that we do have to become the people whom God wishes us to be. If we are always faithful to God and His love and His principles, we will so become, and no matter what happens around us, we in fact will fulfill His role. Whether or not you believe in making resolutions at the new year, I asked Elizabeth the other day if she wanted to make a New Year's resolution. She said, no thanks. And so she asked me if I wanted to make one. I said, no thanks. But I think perhaps a resolution along the lines that I'm going to suggest might be not a bad one. Like Esther, we can find our faithfulness to God and His purposes to witness to others the faithfulness of God to us. And believe it or not, you will find that in so doing, you will see God's faithfulness back to us as well. Who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift to God. Let's bow our head in prayer. Almighty Father, in this new year, we ask for your enabling power to fulfill our resolve to be faithful to you in all that we think, speak, act, to your honor and your glory, and to the coming of your kingdom. We ask these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. On behalf of the whole state of Christ's church here on earth. Almighty and ever-living God, we are taught by your holy word to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people,